verses 1 through 3. And the title today is Hang On or Let Go. And even though it's not a pleasant topic, there are things in our lives sometimes that we hang on to and we don't want to let go because of self. And we're going to talk about that today. So read with me in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you have asked wrongly to spend it on your passions. So in James, we're not exactly sure who he's talking to here, but we have a good idea that he is talking to a church that has some internal things going on as far as conflicts and that kind of thing. And regardless of the original situation of where or who James is talking to, I think we should think about these words and apply them to ourselves. So listen closely to what James is saying here. It has the possibility of changing your life and my life. So let's listen to him and let's just walk through these scriptures again. James's advice of living with godly wisdom is a recipe for a healthy church in any time or place. And we read that and we say, or we hear that and we say, we put tags on churches that maybe are known for quarreling and disagreeing about things. But we have to remember that we are part of the church. We are God's church. Each individual person makes up the church. So it's not, we're not just pointing at, I'm not going to name churches in our community, but we may be, you know, we may point at churches and say different things about them, but actually we should point that finger back at ourselves and remember that we are part of the church. No matter if it's a Bible Fellowship Church or any other church, in the overall church is the people who have given their lives to Christ and are living for Him. That is the church. And first, James wants us to consider the sources or the source of our conflict. And we, of course, know that it's self. In verse 1, he says, following our own evil desires rather than the desires of God. So we're so selfish that all we think of is what we want. We don't think of what God wants. And back in chapter 3 and verse 16, James says that when believers don't follow the guidelines of God, we reap the same consequences of discord as unbelievers who follow earthly wisdom. So we can say, we can talk about earthly people all we want, but if we're acting like them, if we look like them throughout our lives, we're no different, and we're going to reap the same as them because of our discord with people and with different things going on in our world that we don't agree with because it's our what we think of is what we want and what we like and what we support. This is an appalling way to describe relationships between Christians, and it's sad and it's sickening. All the fighting, the coveting, the selfishness, the evil desires, the wrong motives should have no place in our interactions with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. There should be no room for that. And if we go by Scripture and we try to live out the Scripture, then these things are not going to happen because we're going to love people the way Jesus loves them. Can we just stop here and self-examine our hearts right now? And can we allow God to change our ways? Of course we can. But how do we do this? Will we give up what we want for what He wants? That's a big question. And that's something I think we all need to ponder on and think about and pray about and ask God, you know, why do I keep holding on to self, God? Why can I not get over this? And why can I not just give it all to You and let You be the driver in my life? Can we do it today? Sure, we can do it today, but will we? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Can we give up self and hang on to God? Can you imagine how disappointed and hurt God is when we won't give up self to follow His guidance? I can't imagine, because I, as a parent, I know how disappointed I have been in my children when they did not, when they disobeyed me. So it's got to be a lot worse for God. But He is a sovereign God. He is a forgiving God, and He is the God, and we need to make Him the God of our lives. Thankfully, James has already outlined an answer for us in chapter 3 and verses 17 through 18. But the wisdom from above is first peace, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So let's be about the business of making peace, not stirring up trouble. We will end today with this. Have you ever experienced conflict, quarrels, selfishness, coveting with another Christian? Well, if you haven't, you will at some point, and it's because of that selfness in us. But remember, this is not pleasing to God. You cannot change someone else, and no one else can change you. But we are responsible still before God for our own heart and our conduct. We must allow the Holy Spirit to make the changes. How can we do this? We can cry out to God. We can ask Him to change our hearts. We can ask Him for His will and not ours. We can make peace with Him. Then and only then can we pray for the ones that we disagree with. Ask God to change my heart, your heart, and their heart, and that His will be done. Have you ever thought that you both might be wrong or that you both might be right? How do we know unless we ask the one who knows the exact truth? And we're going to end with this. The Holy Spirit will bring a harvest of righteousness when we sow peace from a godly life. Remember that God can use that. So what's it going to be? Will you hang on to selfish desires because you think your way is the right way? Or will you give it all up and lay it at the feet of Jesus and allow Him and only Him to work out the situation, giving Him the desires of His heart, not ours?